The Old Testament reading for the third Advent midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 11, 2 to 11. The sermon title is, Are You Offended by Jesus? Are you offended by Jesus? Are you embarrassed to let people know that you associate with him on a regular basis? On Sunday mornings? Do you cringe when strangers discover you talking to Jesus in prayer or listening to him in his written word? Is your relationship with him one of those things you'd rather keep quiet about in polite or important company? Now, I think most of you, probably everybody here today, would say that you're not embarrassed about your relationship with Jesus. I think most of you would say that even if you don't talk about him with strangers, you would not deny that you believe in him if you were asked. I think most of you would say, no, I'm not offended by Jesus, and that's a good thing. If you lived in the days of Jesus, though, I wonder if you would have been offended by Jesus. Many people were, and these were religious people. Most of the people of the day were expecting a Messiah, but he should have had a little more power, a little more wealth, a little more influence or something. Jesus seemed, well, just too common. And that's why Jesus said in our gospel lesson, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So let's do a little imaginary reconstruction, put Jesus into the 21st century, and see what you think. Let's imagine that Joseph is a construction worker in the hill country of West Virginia. Mary is a coal miner's daughter with no relation to Loretta Lynn. Their son Jesus works in the mines, sometimes when there's work there. Other times, he works with his dad in construction when there's work there. Well, right now, there's not a whole lot of work in West Virginia. So like many others, he moved to other places and happened to end up here in California, where there are lots of jobs for entry-level laborers, like construction workers. During the day, you might see Jesus hanging out around the San Mateo Worker Resource Center at 5th and Railroad Avenues, waiting for work to be posted. Other times, he is pounding the pavement looking for work. On Sundays, Jesus joins us here at Grace for the discussion and Bible class. He amazes us all, including me, with his knowledge of scriptures. He even knows the Old Testament in Hebrew by memory. Imagine that. I don't know anybody else like that. And he joins us for worship in this space. Now, you won't be able to tell by looking at him that he's anything special. He's dressed neatly, but not in anything fancy or expensive. He's polite, he smiles, he drinks coffee with us, and he's otherwise just a normal guy. Now, if you follow Jesus around during the week, you might be surprised at everything he does. He visits the inmates at the mental health center at Palo Alto VA Medical Center to give them a little cheer, and I can tell you they need it. On one occasion, there was a big ruckus as an inmate had started screaming and carrying on. And when the guards came, the inmate looked them straight in the eye and said, "I'm ready to leave now." And when they tested him, they were amazed to find that he was right. He was perfectly healthy, mentally, totally clear. Jesus had visited that man. Jesus visits the residents at nursing homes like Sterling Court on El Camino Real, just to talk to them. Sometimes after he visits with residents in wheelchairs, they get up and start walking. They pack their bags and go home. Sometimes after he visits blind people in the nursing home, they're found the next day admiring the paintings along the hallway. Sometimes after he visits folks who've lost their hearing, they start talking to their neighbors the next day and having normal conversations. You see, Jesus visited these folks. Jesus visits patients in hospitals at Mills Peninsula in Burlingame, San Mateo Medical Center, Sequoia and Kaiser in Redwood City, and others. Well, he doesn't visit everyone. Nobody knows how or why he chooses the people that he visits. Everybody he visits is touched in some way by his words and presence. And some are released the next day and are cured. Others have the courage to accept the diagnosis of the doctor. All have stories of the wonderful time, unexpected, that they had in visiting with Jesus. Now, for all these things, Jesus would seem to be a wonderful addition to the community, even though he doesn't make the news. But there's one thing that might bother you about Jesus. Even though he accepts any social invitation, in fact, he was at our party on Sunday at the parsonage. Did you see him there? He mostly associates with people below the poverty level. He even lives in that part of town. You kind of get the impression that he just fits in with the poor, maybe prefers to be with them. Most think he associates with the poor because that's the type of folk that he grew up with. And when people listen to his lectures, he talks mostly about his kingdom. His kingdom? Well, whatever that is. Some of the leaders of the community, board of supervisors, mayor, those type of people, are worried that Jesus might be riling up the poor folks for something like a labor strike or a demonstration. We have enough of those. He keeps promising the poor folks a better day in his kingdom. Now, isn't that what a certain type of politician does? Well, what does Jesus have to offer them? He's not wealthy, doesn't own a business, he isn't making friends with important people in town, and all of his talk is just going to raise expectations that can't be met. And then what? So, who does Jesus think that he is anyway? And this is how things were that year, about 30 AD, when John the Baptist was arrested and carried off to prison. And what you just heard about Jesus is about the same type of stuff that John heard through the grapevine of his disciples and friends. You see, Jesus did not start his ministry until John was in prison. So John didn't get to see Jesus doing all those wonderful things we know about in the Gospels. The only thing that he saw was the day of Jesus' baptism. So what was John supposed to think about Jesus? He had baptized his relative Jesus and saw the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, and it heard the Father's voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so John was expecting great things. But then he was locked into prison, and what he got instead was a bunch of rumors about miracles and gossip about how Jesus spent all his time with the poor, with people with criminal records and prostitutes. John hoped that Jesus would be making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. John hoped that Jesus, this is what he really hoped, Jesus would ask or demand that King Herod would let his cousin out of jail. But instead, according to the rumors, Jesus was spending his time with criminals and prostitutes. Who did Jesus think he was anyway? Jesus said, "For John's benefit and ours, blessed is the one who is not offended by me." There's a lot in this, and we Christians who have grown up in the church may not realize it. The truth is, there are a lot of people in this world who are offended by Jesus. Johann Wolfgang Goethe was the most intelligent man of his day by some assessments. He was a German. He was a polymath, a scientist, a poet, a dramatist, and many other things. They have statues for him all over Germany, and even some here in the United States. But he was no lover of Jesus. In fact, in one of his writings, Goethe said he hated Christ and Christians. You see, Jesus and his disciples, like you and me, are too lowly for high intellects like Goethe. Friedrich Nietzsche was another high intellect German who hated Christ and Christians. Nietzsche thought Christianity was a religion for slaves, and it came from slaves, not for enlightened and cultured people like the Germans in the Biedermeier era of late 19th century. Many people today in the arts, in the sciences, in the universities, in the mass media, in the upper echelons of society are offended at the religion of Jesus. They scorn fundamentalists, traditional Catholics, and conservative Protestants. They think that we're backwards, uncultured, or just plain stupid. They are, in other words, offended by people like you and me, and they're offended by Jesus too, if they knew who he really was. At various times in its history, Christianity has been accepted by the proud, the rich, the cultured, and the intellectuals of this world. But then it was often something else than the religion that Jesus proclaimed. The religion that Jesus proclaimed is very simple. It is the hope of something better in heaven for those who have little hope for here on this earth. It is the good works of Christ offered to the divine judge for those who have few good works of their own to offer him. It is the forgiveness of sins for those who need lots of forgiveness. It is a doctrine of humility for those who already have lots to be humble about. Now, of course, Jesus' religion invites everyone into his kingdom, no matter what their social or economic status. But you must enter his kingdom on his terms, not yours. Are you offended by Jesus? Blessed are you if you are not offended by the lowly appearance of God's one and only Son. In his blessed name, amen.